You know, that game, it felt to me as I was watching it like it was the kind of it was the game that I think a lot of 49er fans like feared could come, where some of the weaknesses or all of the weaknesses were exposed kind of all in one game. And I don't know how you look at it. Yes, that happened and they were still right there. Or yes, that happened and it really should have been worse. So the question is this kind of performance, you know, an anomaly, or could they be headed toward trouble brewing in Philly, who's got a great defense?
Well, I do think part of it was the fact that you hadn't played a team like that since, I mean, really week 10. They hadn't played a team like that since Brock Purdy came back and started quarterbacking. You know, you played Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, Tennessee, a Rivers-led Colts team, and Chicago, who can score, but whose defense is not as good. So, you know, the Niners haven't seen... I know Cleveland has a better defense, but that's not a team that you're necessarily worried about. I would say that they haven't played an elite defense since week 8. You know, so I think part of that was also just the speed of the game. You can watch as much tape as you want, but until you're out there, and it looked very clear early on that they, at least offensively, they looked pretty overwhelmed. And it took them a long time to get their footing, but the defense kept them within striking distance. You know, again, they had a chance to score. I think they would have if they hadn't turned it over. And that was the other part about it, too. It's, you know, can you find your footing without putting the ball in harm's way? I think they did a pretty good job of that. But to answer your question about, do you look at it as it should have been worse? I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you probably do look at the game and you say, we should have beat them like 27-3. I mean, we should have absolutely pulverized that team. If you're the Niners, you're looking at it and saying, if we can beat Philly, telling me we get a second crack at that team? Well, now we know exactly what that team is and who they are. So maybe you like your chances in a second matchup. I mean, I think they're going to get more than 170 yards. That's the thing,
more,
too.
If they play Seattle again, I'll bet you they get more than three.
Well, probably, but the points are the points, but you got outgained by 200 yards.
Exactly.
Two football fields worth of yards is the separation between you and Seattle. And that is where if I'm living in the Pacific Northwest tuning in today, I'm being like, what are these guys talking about? It wasn't that close.
No, I didn't think so either. I mean, it was close in terms of there was, you know, two quarters of that game. If a play would have happened one way or the other, it could have swung the momentum. But that play never, ever came. It just, they couldn't make any plays.
Well, and that's why the yardage to me tells the story the same way it did all the way back in week one. I know that was September 7th, and I don't even remember where I was at that day. Actually, I was with Lorenzo Neal. But that game, the Niners totaled 385 yards, and the defense allowed 230. Now, it was a close game. It took Nick Bosa getting that final strip sack, obviously the 50-50 ball to Tonjes, you know, to take the lead. But they were the aggressors in that game. They dictated the terms to me the first time they played the Seahawks. And that, to me, is where the role reversal came into play. The Seahawks pretty much dictated, I thought, the majority of that football game. And it's why they possessed the ball for damn near 40 minutes.
Do we know about the status of Trent Williams?
Well, we should
Ricky
be hearing
Pearsall
from Kyle Shanahan in a couple of minutes because he's speaking to the media.
Okay.
So that's going to be his conference call. We'll try to get that sound turned around as fast as we can. But reports about the Niners, their injuries, should be leaking out pretty soon.
If Trent Williams can't play...
Oh, boy.
That'll... What do you think of his sunglasses?
Pleasance.
You like his sunglasses?
Trent
Williams?
Trent's a pretty swaggy dude.
Yeah, he looked good on the sideline.
So his locker in the locker room is kind of all by itself, and partially that's
because... Oh, interesting.
Partially because he's a massive,
huge, yeah,
massive man. He can't really be shoulder to shoulder with people. But his locker is kind of off by itself. Dude, he's got style. Like, there's always some...
He's got money.
No, but okay, but hey...
Actually, you know
not
what?
Not everybody with money
that's
has
true.
Style.
I just checked myself. Not that I have money. but money wouldn't get me style.
You know? I mean, you know, you see some of the big wigs.
But also, and I want to take it full circle, I guarantee if Trent Williams didn't have money, he'd still have style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Guru doesn't have money, but he has style. Sorry, that was...
Let's go to
my own general, Evan.
Let's go to Trevor in Rohnert Park. What's up, Trevor? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How you guys doing? Happy New Year's.
Yep.
Man, I just want to say a couple of things here because this all boils down. You guys are talking about the run. We didn't get much going there. The game was within grasp, I think, for a little while. The defense isn't awesome. We got a ton of injuries on the defensive side. We know our defense is not going to be top-notch compared to these other teams. But the fact that the game was 13-3, that they held them, and we could say, yeah, maybe Seattle should have won by a higher margin. They didn't. That game was within grasp for the first half of the game. Until the momentum shifted when Christian McCaffrey missed that ball and it got intercepted. You could feel it. You could watch it in the game. You could see it. You could feel after that the air was taken out of the stadium. But the bottom line to all of this is the same thing that I've been saying when I call in here, I've been calling in for the last year, is the offensive line. The offensive line is garbage, guys. How much time did Purdy get to actually look down the field and even check down? I mean, I don't think he had more than 2 seconds to throw the ball 95% of that game. So it all is the offensive line. Without Williams next week, we got really no chance. And you could see it in this game. If we had Williams on that line and he was fully healthy, then maybe Christian McCaffrey does get his yards. Maybe then the defense is not on the field a lot more than usual. Like, look how much the defense on the Niners side of the ball was on the field. Like, the Niners defense was on the field a lot. So by the third quarter, they were run down. Doesn't matter how good or bad their defense is, they were already run down by then because the offense couldn't stay on the field long enough to give them a breather. And that's because their offensive line is garbage. It's hot garbage. And for whatever reason, the Niners continue to ignore that issue every single offseason or make any trades during the regular season to upgrade their offensive line to protect their golden boy quarterback. I don't get it, guys. I mean, please explain that to me. Explain to me why they don't do something as important as protecting your quarterback and giving him time to throw the football. When you look at the Bears game, he had time to throw the ball, and guess what? He went off. He did excellent. No quarterback. Give me the best quarterback in the league. You give him that offensive line, he's going to struggle. It's just, what's going to happen, and that's what happened.
Appreciate it, Trevor. I mean, I guess, you know, I never know how to answer when people say, how come the 49ers don't draft offensive linemen? Or why do the 49ers have so many players injured? I don't know. Their philosophy clearly is they don't. I mean, the way I heard John Lynch explain it once was that, you know, if an offensive lineman they project as a second round pick, they're not going to take him in the first round just because they need an offensive lineman. But there's no doubt they've got a track record of not drafting a lot of offensive linemen, and they've got a lot of people hurt over the years. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know what I'm sure Kyle Shanahan and Lynch, how come you guys don't draft offensive linemen?
Well,
we never saw value in an offensive lineman at the spots we were drafting. You know what I mean? What he's going to say.
I do think that there is somewhat of a pattern of Kyle believing that he can kind of cobble together a good enough offensive line. And unfortunately, it's reared its ugly head in the worst kind of games. But, you know, it is tough, I think, for fans to look across the other side and see Gray Zabel, who's a rookie guard for Seattle, absolutely plowing through linebackers and members of the secondary. Like, it's just tough. You know, he's a rookie. He was the 18th overall pick, and he's been pretty damn good for them this season. He's played in every game, and he's been healthy. That is where you start to think about, all right, well, you know, Seattle a couple years ago, by the way, when you, the Niners, I'm saying, torched them in that divisional round game on their road to the Super Bowl in 2023, they ran them out of the building. That was a Seahawks team. I think it might have been the last year, Pete Carroll. But they were pretty weak on the interior, right? They didn't have a good defensive line, didn't have a good offensive line. What did they do? They invested. They spent top three round picks on offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and some of those guys have hit. Byron Murphy was the first round pick last year. He's got 7.5 sacks. You know, they have found dudes that have contributed to now a team that looks like a pretty formidable trench, not just on defense, but also on offense. So it's, I just think it's hard when you're watching a team that is a Jenga tower and the bottom block, it's one and it's really big, but it's Trent Williams. And you saw what happens against a good team when you remove that piece.
Yeah, 888-957-9570 is the number. Listen, I get today sucks, for sure. But I'll tell you what's going to happen.
You're not eliminated.
No, that's the thing. I'll tell you what's going to happen. As we get toward Philadelphia Thursday and Friday, we'll start talking about how the 49ers can win the game. And they might be able to win the game. Look, there's no denying, like if you were to ask Steiny, since the 49ers won that game Saturday, they
sure
won it.
Oh, yeah.
Steiny, can the 49ers win the Super Bowl? Maybe. Maybe. Well, they lost. Can they win the Super Bowl? Probably not. Like, that's where I think things went from a maybe to probably not. But that doesn't. They can go into Philadelphia and win the game.
I think they can too, and we're obviously going to get to that throughout this week. Let me ask you this. Do you think that if the Niners had lost the game on Saturday in Seattle, you would be feeling different? They were underdogs, but they were also at home.
Oh, that's a great question, and my initial one was no, it wouldn't have made any difference. But it might have because... Like, I know the Niners were underdogs, but, you know, it was kind of a coin flip.
But it's like...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Well, I mean, just before the game, you know, you are set up, right? You got it at home. It's for the one seed. Obviously, the injury luck isn't on your side throughout the season. But because you lost the game, you're not going to get to play at home for the remainder of the postseason until, you know, if you make the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in the city. You know, the one thing, and you brought this up earlier, and if you're skeptical, you'll probably be out there rolling your eyes. But the one thing I completely agree with you on, and it's one of the reasons veterans talk more than the younger players after the game. Like, they're not done. Like, they're not devastated. They're not demoralized. I mean, that's the beauty of having Purdy and Kittle and McCaffrey and Trent and the veterans that they have is because they'll treat it like a loss, like a regular loss. But they're playing next week. They got to put it behind them. They got to win in Philly. And then if they win in Philly, they'll take their chances the next week. But no, they're not done. They just got to figure some stuff out. This is George Kittle on the game.
Disappointed. I mean, yeah. NFL, you know, you can have a bad game, any game. Unfortunately, we decided to have a bad game today. You know, not efficient. Were we 2 of 9 on third down? Tough. Didn't really get our run game going. We started the game off with, 2-3 and outs? If they have a good defense, I mean, and their run game was super effective tonight, kind of hard to, you know, expect to really, you know, win the game if we're not going to score more than a field goal. Shout out to Eddie, though. Thank you for making it.
Shout out to Eddie. Eddie P.
Let's go to Roy. Roy's in San Leandro. Hey, Roy. What's going on, man?
Hey, Sonny. How you doing? How's it going?
We're going on. We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, look, I just wanted to chime in real quick. You know, going forward, you know, I get a 49ers and Shanahan and Lynch all the credit in the world for the way that they brought along those young defensive players. But let's be honest, though, Sonny. The 49ers need not only a defensive end, but like I've been telling you and Guru for years, that they need another running back. And see, the reason I'm saying that, McCaffrey is still good. Everybody the whole league know that. But they needed somebody to help take the load and then catch the ball, too. And so what I'm saying is that I give them all the credit in the world, but I really don't think that they're going to beat the Eagles. And the last point I wanted to make is that, you know, the 49ers are really not going to get to the Super Bowl till they finally get a good defensive end to go along with Bosa. I mean, for the pass rush, either a defensive end or somebody in the middle that could possibly get to the pass rusher. I just wanted to say that. It's always great, man. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you, Roy. Appreciate it as always. He just didn't have a pass rush all year.
No, and, in fact, Carter sent me a stat. So the Niners, I mentioned they had 10% of their sacks on Saturday.
Okay.
They had two. So that means
they finished with 20.
Yeah.
All right.
Kind of a lot. Who do you think are the sack leaders for the San Francisco 49ers? Let's just say the top five.
Oh, my God. Huff.
Yep. He is tied for first with four.
Okwuanu.
He is technically third with three.
Not Bethune. The guy who got Williams?
He's just behind.
Williams?
And he had his first sack over the weekend.
Williams?
Michael had one. By the way, he's
among the leaders then.
I've seen him come in and out of the, you know, like a lot of the injured players are up there in the booth with the coordinators and
right.
Some of the assistant coaches up high. And so he always is walking around. Well, it's on crutches, so he's limping around to get to the elevator to go down after the game. That is one massive man. One also massive sack. The leader, tied with Bryce Huff, is Cleveland Farrell with four.
Oh, didn't he have two or three in a game?
Yes. I don't think he's also been on the team the entire year. And then who's fourth?
Bosa.
Nick Bosa. He hasn't played since week four. Fifth is Keon White with 1.5. And he was obviously traded for at the deadline. They have not got pressure on a quarterback at all this season. Interestingly enough, and this is for later in the week, but I just had a thought. It's not really going to determine whether or not they beat the Eagles if they can sack Jalen Hurts. I don't think that's the way that you want to beat Hurts. You want to keep him contained. You want to cage him. But, yeah, against a guy like Sam Darnold, and I guess they did get to the quarterback, it's like you have to get the guy on the ground.
This is Brock Purdy on Seattle's defense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're good defense, good front. You know, did a good job with making us, you know, go through reads and checking the ball down. And, you know, for me, it's like I just wish I could have been a little bit more efficient. And, you know, they're going to make you work for the yards and make you have to convert on third down. And I just feel like third downs were definitely an area that I have to be better. Our offense as a whole, like, I feel like that's the part where if you got to win these kind of games, you got to be good on third down. So, you know, they did a good job.
That was Brock Purdy talking about the offense and their struggles.
I mean, he wasn't bad.
I didn't think he was bad.
So he said he wasn't efficient, and I hear that. But he completed 70% of his passes. He was 19 for 27. That's, I know he had the pick, which makes the overall rating look a lot worse than it actually was. But
like, how many yards did he throw?
130.
For?
It was not a lot. Sacked three times. Obviously ran for a few. He had 21 yards on two rushers. I know he didn't do a lot, and you're asking your quarterback to be that guy against that defense, and that's really how you were going to win the game. I mean, I think everyone going into the game felt like Brock Purdy had to outplay Sam Darnold, and I don't think that he was worse than Darnold, but he certainly wasn't better than him. But his task was far more difficult than Darnold's was. Darnold had to literally not fumble the game away. And he almost did. But Yetur Gross-Matos, as we talked about, let him off the hook. Brock Purdy, meanwhile, had to go win that football game. And one quarterback accomplished their goal, the easier goal.
I also think, and I don't, maybe it's an indictment on Sam Darnold, but I think the way Seattle's been playing coming into that game, knowing that their defense was playing at a really high level, And knowing that the 49ers defense was decimated, I just feel like they came in and said, we have better personnel than them right now. We should be able to run the football. We should be able to give them trouble. There's no need to take any crazy chances. There's no need to gimmick up the game. We're just going to run and pass safely, and that's pretty much what they did to win the game. And like, here's the other thing I was thinking when we were talking about how do you steal a game? Because that's what the Niners are going to have. How do you steal a game? Well, you need a big play. Okay, offensively, who's their big play guy? I mean,
it's McCaffrey or Kittle in that game.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a 75-yard guy who can, you know, make a play. And I mean, McCaffrey can, but he hasn't this year in terms of a big run. And I just think they, you know, whether it's Bosa being out and Warner being out on defense, they couldn't make a big play defensively in that game. And offensively, I think it caught. And you know what? People out there saying, stop, you know, no need to talk about Ayuk. Yeah, there is. There's absolutely a reason to talk about Ayuk. Not to say they would have won with him, but to say they needed receivers in this game. And whether you like it or not, the 49ers and Ayuk couldn't get along, and he's not on the team. And he should have been playing. If he were just a normal player and a normal receiver on a normal team under a normal circumstance, he probably would have played because he'd been healthy by now. So, yes, I think it's fair to bring up Ayuk not playing, particularly because Pearsall didn't play, and maybe for the most part because they had 130 yards passing. So, yeah, I think the 49ers, I'm not saying you drill them for it, but they were receivers short on Saturday. There's no doubt about it, whether it was Pearsall or Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, if that receiver's Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, you're feeling a lot better about yourself. You know, it's funny, like, you said big play, and I kind of agree, but the big play potential to me for this Niners team might be on special teams. Honestly, I was waiting for Sky Moore to do something on, you know, punt return or kick return, because the offense was not moving the football. The defense was, they were getting gashed, but they weren't giving up points. They needed someone to light a fire, just like to kind of spark this group. And to me, it might sound crazy, but throughout this season, Sky Moore's been a guy that's given them that sort of jolt. But in terms of coverage, the Seahawks were buttoned up enough.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam, we're talking about the 49ers. Tough loss on Saturday. You know, I always wonder, would a fan rather have a team stick around in a game like that and then, you know, lament a play or two? Or would it have been better if the Seahawks scored on the first drive,
No.
led 16-3 at half? Okay, I was just wondering.